Now, get ready for the hottest talk show of the year, Crime Time Live, with your host, renowned attorney Scott Weinberg. Brought to you live by Clear Channel Radio and syndicated nationally on TalkZone.com. Discuss all the sizzling hot cases making headline news today and how you can protect your rights. And now, here's your host, Scott Weinberg.
Good morning. Oh, man, it is a cloudy, raining morning. But we are going to shine all over your rights here at 1310 a.m. Did Oakland County prosecutor rush to judgment in the murder investigation of the local attorney? Well, that's our first question today. That is our first question. Was there a rush to judgment? Well, there'll be hell to pay. Or is there more to the gruesome story? You call us here at 248-848-1310, and we're going to talk about that. And last time we reported on the missing banker, he is still missing, but surprise, surprise, so is $150,000 for a Windsor woman. Related? Well, you make the call. You call us at 248-848-1310. Should we feel safe in our dorm rooms? And we know that does the tragedy, and we know what's going on with the student suicide out of Rutgers, that just sad, sad case this past week. Does it teach us anything about our rights to privacy? Well, you call us and we'll try to answer that question. 248-848-1310. We can discuss the new super drunk driving laws, stupid crimes blog, and your calls and questions here on Crime Time Live. I'm your host, Scott Weinberg, here on Clear Channel Radio and syndicated all across this great nation of ours on TalkZone.com. You stay tuned. We'll be right back. We'll get to all your rights. Stay tuned.
Stinks in here.
Passing gas. Is there a right time and a wrong time to do it?
Come on, huh? I'm trying to eat.
When indoors in the company of others, passing gas is not only taboo, it can be deadly.
I'm gagging.
Passing gas releases a plume of toxic vapors like ammonia and hydrogen cyanide.
Ah, you're killing us over here.
Every year, hundreds of infants exposed to passed gas die.
What? I cracked a window?
And just opening a window isn't enough. These deadly fumes can linger in the room for hours after odors have dissipated.
Daddy, you promised you'd smoke outside.
You're right, Pumpkin. Excuse me.
If you smoke, take it outside. Don't pass gas. A message from the American Legacy Foundation and the Ad Council. Get the facts at don'tpassgas.org.
Have you or a loved one been arrested or charged with a crime? Do you want to stay out of jail and keep your record clean? Hi, I'm attorney Scott Weinberg, host of Crime Time Live, heard Saturday mornings 11 to 12 noon on 1310 WDTW. Call my office anytime to protect your rights at 1-800-NO-JAIL-1 or go to our website at 1-800-NO-JAIL-1.com. We have payment plans for everyone's budget. There should never be a price on protecting your rights. Call 1-800-NO-JAIL and the number one right now.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the show. Well, it may not have been a murder. Oh, may not have been a murder at Johnson's home, but human tissue in a dog bowl in a freezer inside the home of the murder victim, lawyer Lloyd Johnson. It sure looked like a scene of a murder. That's what the newspapers are reporting. That's what everybody is talking about. According to new filings on Friday in a court case against Laura Johnson, the 46-year-old woman who was arrested and then released on the killing of her husband. Now, we don't know if she did it or not, but we do know that she was let go. Charges were dropped this week when an autopsy revealed that the 413-pound Lloyd Johnson died September 22nd of complications from an old boating accident wound, morbid obesity, and other issues. You know, we talked about this last week. Was there a rush to judgment? Do you think? Do you think that they rushed to judgment whether or not a spouse was the culprit? Just like we talked about last time. They always look at the spouse. What is that about? Can't they look at other things first and then? Why does always have to be a rush to judgment on the spouse? It's exactly what happened. But in a petition to terminate her parental rights, so they're still going after the spouse. In a petition to terminate her parental rights to her two young sons filed Friday on behalf of the Michigan Department of Human Services, the investigators told him the hours before his death that Laura Johnson had been performing surgery on her husband, now deceased husband, Lloyd, sometimes when he was unconscious and he was afraid she was going to kill him. So there's more to this story. You know, there's always more than what meets the eye. Believe me, I've been doing this for over 20 years. There is more than you get simply in the police report. There's more than you definitely ever get from the news reports. That is for sure. The news media is usually the last and the least information that is the most complete. The best is if you can get involved and read the witness statements. You could read this doctor's report. If you had access to that, then you've got way more information than you ever will get simply listening to the local news. But you'll get it here because we have a lot of that inside information. When they responded to this scene, when EMS came, they found blood throughout the house, human tissue in a dog bowl, which no one has explained yet, and they got a video of Laura Johnson performing an enema on a dog with a hose. Now, you know, there are many different types of explanations for things you do in your house, but why you take a video of these things, they don't have any explanation for. But what they're basically saying is there is a need for Child Protective Services to come on in and to try and protect the two sons, basically, with these bizarre incidences of what's going on. Johnson was a former court reporter, and she was charged with this second-degree murder after her husband, Lloyd Johnson, died at the area hospital. But then after the charges were dropped, they realized there were other things going on in the house. We've got to protect these kids, they say, in a petition to terminate her parental rights. The Department of Human Services and the prosecutors are saying that she's not allowed to reunite with her sons, were they like 8 and 10, young kids, because of the grave concerns that they have for them. So let me tell you how these things work. You've got a situation where there has nothing to do with child protection. Right? They're coming in on a murder investigation. It's not regarding the kids. Oh, sure, you might say, well, let's protect everybody. But that's not why they came in. It was a murder investigation. They determined through their own professionals, right? Through their own investigation and through their own medical examiner to say, hey, we don't think this was a murder, but there's other crazy things going on in this house. We're going to be protecting anything else possible. So they come in and they take the kids and they try and protect those kids. And you know what? That's probably not a bad idea. At least put the kids in a protected situation until you can further investigate this woman. You might disagree. You might think, yeah, but that's, you know, until you have something more, let her just have her children. And then when you find out more, then you can come back in. But you know what? When you have the Department of Human Services and you got the prosecutor's office with egg all over their face with this other murder investigation, they're going to try and do anything possible so they don't look like fools again. That's what's going to happen. And that's one of the reasons why they've taken her rights away, at least temporarily, with these kids. You want to call me and join this conversation at 248-848-1310. You call me and you tell me why you think they should not take away this woman's rights right now, temporarily at least, until they figure out what craziness was going on in that house. Was she performing surgery before some kind of medical procedure without a license? Was she actually practicing medicine without a license? What is she doing to these kids? Should they start interviewing the neighbors to see what was going on with this family? I mean, those are some basic governmental obligations that they have to say, hey, we didn't know something was going on before, but now we know some issues were happening in this house that might not be kosher. We should protect the kids. You know, maybe get supervised visitation for a little while until we know what's going on. It's a lot that goes on in people's homes and we don't know anything about, but I'm telling you, if we did, government would be all over it. So I'm not saying the government intrusion is good. I'm saying the protection of the kids is important. And if that means we lose a little of our rights up until they figure it out, it's sometimes not a bad idea. You call me if you disagree at 248-848-1310. That's 248-848-1310. We're going to watch that. We're going to watch that closely because I don't like when people and the government comes in and takes your rights. But sometimes when it's the protection of kids, sometimes you have to make excuses. Sometimes you have to make a small allowance for their ability to come in and protect children when there's an allegation of something going on. I don't know what specific is. I don't have the specific investigation of what they said happened with these kids. But I can tell you that you got a dead body and you got a lot of crazy things going on with no doctor in that house. Well, you better investigate something, especially when they have this stuff with dogs. And, you know, it could be medical procedures on dogs to try and help the health of the dog. But you just don't know. I mean, so you got to be able to be, I guess, cautious before you are going to be overt and taking her rights away. They're not permanently taking them. They're temporarily taking them. And I guess there's arguments on both sides. You call me if you want to comment on that. 248-848-1310. That's 248-848-1310. But there are a lot of people that want to talk about the issues of that prosecutor's rush to judgment. You know, you read the blogs. And a blog from Lawrence. He says, in the immortal words of Raymond Donovan, Ronald Reagan's Secretary of Labor, which office do I go to get my reputation back? He asked this question several years ago after being acquitted of corruption charges. I mean, that's what you got to look at in terms of Laura Johnson, the wife of this guy. I mean, she wasn't now charged. She's not now charged with the murder of her husband. But does anybody know that? I mean, look at what we're talking right now about whether or not she's guilty or not guilty or should have been charged or there's a rush to judgment. And she might have done nothing wrong with her husband. I don't know about her house. I don't know about her dog or her kids. But we don't know if she did anything wrong. And we're now in people in her community are thinking they're going to give her an inquisitive eye. Is that right? Isn't that what happens when we have a rush to judgment by prosecutors? That now everybody is deemed to be the suspect, or we're going to look at the spouse as the suspect, even if charges aren't brought, that she did something wrong. I mean, isn't that the problem in our society, especially with criminal cases? We assume that because someone is charged with a crime, they did something wrong. It's ridiculous. I don't care that many of the time someone's charged, it turns out they did something wrong. That's not the point. The point is, it's a rush to judgment, and now it always going to be stapled to her forehead the fact that she was accused of a crime, even if she didn't do it. You want to comment on that, you call me at 248-848-1310. That's 248-848-1310. It doesn't matter if you're charged with a crime in terms of your guilt. It matters whether or not they prove it beyond a reasonable doubt. I mean, that is what the situation was. We got Chris blogging on a blog. The Johnson murder charge stemmed from one sobering conclusion: prosecutorial incompetence born from a slobbering desire for media attention. Now, it's not just this prosecutor. Are you kidding me? You think this prosecutor in Oakland County is the only prosecutor that looks for media attention? Oh, my goodness. You look all across this great country of ours, especially where you've got celebrities that are getting in trouble for little stupid things like our best friend Lindsay Lohan or Paris Hilton. They can't literally make wind without a prosecutor charging with something. They want to make headlines. Prosecutors like having the media. They like having the headlines. They're elected officials. If no one ever hears about them, guess what? No one ever remembers them at election day. You might disagree with that, but I'm telling you, that's the way it works. You call me at 248-848-1310. That's 248-848-1310. You tell me whether or not you think this rush to judgment not only gets publicity for the prosecutor, good or bad, but really stains the reputation of this wife. Now, what do you think? Do you think that's true? I mean, Dennis, what do you think? You think that's true? Couldn't hear you.
Oh, yeah. My comment is, you know, it's about publicity. That's an elected office. But my thing is, when the prosecutor, Jessica Cooper, said that she went on take her own pathologist report, she's going to get another report. I'm like, you got the top, one of the top 10 pathologists in the nation, and you're going to go against him? And that's your office?
That's her own pathologist. It's her own medical examiner that she uses. Believe me, they use it all the time, all year round. And when they, and even if as a defense attorney, we disagree with that, we have to hire our own because we don't obviously always agree with their professional, their expert. But when their expert is doing the job for them, Laura's attorney for him saying, hey, it's an accident or it's of natural causes. Of course, the prosecutor is going to say, well, I don't know. Maybe we should get someone that says what we want to say. That doesn't seem right, does it?
I found it astounding. You know what I'm saying? So you know, when you use your own when you're prosecuting somebody, you use him, then you not now that you can't make a case, you're going to say he's incompetent or you can't use him? Good. I thought that amazing, though. You know, I guess I'm just a layperson, but it startled me.
Well, do you think, let me ask you this. Do you think that she is just trying to cover her butt because they rushed a judgment? Or do you think there might be something really there that her professional isn't seeing? See, that's the difference. Maybe he just is getting it wrong and there really is something there.
Well, my thing is then, if she actually opened up that can of worms saying that he did something wrong, that he's incomplete, I think if I was a defense attorney, I'd be like, hey, the next time that it comes through, I'll be like, hey, look, you didn't even trust your own pathologist. I don't know if it makes any sense or not.
Well, that is exactly right. And then what? You got to go through everything that he's done in the past to say he might have made mistakes that way. You know, they had that with the Michigan State Police Lab, where over the last year or so, so many people are trying to challenge what was going on years before because they're saying Michigan State Police Lab were incompetent or that they didn't do their job correctly. And the test results that they have, not just for DNA, but blood work and fingerprint analysis, all the different things that Michigan State Police Lab comes back with, drug analysis, that those were tainted or mistakes made because they are overburdened, understaffed, and they didn't do their job. So as defense attorneys, heck, we want to go back, and now we want to go and make challenges for everything that happened in the past. Can you imagine if that happens here with the Oakland County medical examiner? If she comes out and says, hey, not only are you making a mistake here, but who knows about all the other cases? Oh, my goodness. What floodgates will open up there?
Yeah, it'll be unreal.
Well, Dennis, I agree. I think that is insightful, and I think that is exactly what was going on. The bottom line was, though, this. Is it going to make any difference? Do I really think that the Oakland County Prosecutor's Office is going to get another expert opinion to show that this expert, their own medical examiner that they use every single day, made a mistake? My personal belief is no. I'm going to put myself out there. I say that she is not going to do that for exactly what Dennis was saying, because they don't want to open up that can of worms. You don't have to be a lawyer to know that. You don't have to practice 20 years like me to know that. You can just be a lay guy just sitting in your room listening to this radio, and you know that that's not going to happen. You want to say something different, you call me here at 248-848-1310, and you tell me where I'm wrong, that somehow you think that is going to be allowed. They're going to open up that can of worms, and they're going to have another expert come in and say, now it's a homicide. Come on. Give me a break. There's no way that's going on. Well, I tell you what's going on with that banker we talked about last time. Remember that? Surprise, surprise, right? Money's missing. Oh, and now there's a lawsuit going on. The disappearance of David Widlack, president and CEO of Mount Clemens Bank, puts into limbo a lawsuit that accuses him of bilking a Windsor woman. Listen to this. Bilking a Windsor woman of $150,000. Macomb County Sheriff Mark Hackles said Friday that authorities have not been able to make any connection between the pending lawsuit in Macomb County Circuit and that disappearance. Well, what do you think? You call me whether or not you think those are related. 248-848-1310. And whether or not you think that somehow there's a relation between this pending lawsuit of some woman getting bilked out of $150,000 and the sudden disappearance of the banker. Whitlock in 2005 convinced a conservator for Elizabeth Surgat, a senior citizen who was incompetent at the time, to invest money she won in a car accident lawsuit into an insurance company that he owned in Las Vegas, according to the lawsuit. So we don't know if that's true, but that's what the allegation is that this president, David Whitlock, convinced an older lady, a senior citizen, and I gotta be careful about that because I'm getting to be a senior citizen. A senior citizen to invest money that she won from a lawsuit into an insurance company that the suit claims he owned, and whether or not that might have been even a conflict then. But according to the case filed against him by the Troy lawyer, Whitlock never disclosed that he owned the insurance company. Well, there's a shock. Never heard that before, right? Someone trying to get you to invest money into something that they own, but they don't even tell you? And they're the president of a bank? Oh, my goodness. What do you think? Is it related to his disappearance? He certainly breached his fiduciary duty to protect her financially, her attorney says. And he failed to disclose the conflict of interest, but they don't know whether or not that has anything to do with the disappearance. It's currently pending in Macomb County Circuit Court. Whitlock was last seen September 19th, walking out the back door of Community Bank all by himself. You think that's related? You call me at 248-848-1310. That's 248-848-1310. I don't know if it's related. I'm telling you right now, I don't know if it's related. Caller, what do you think? Is this related with the banker?
And you know what? It could be, it could not be. But that's the whole thing. Everything is on judgment until you find out more information about the case and about the whole situation. But in respect to the prosecutors and all that, you know what? I don't really have a problem with what they did, how they grandstand. But if I was Paris Hilton, do you think I'd have got a misdemeanor for her crime?
Well, so
the
you're
same
saying
thing that Lindsay Lohan did. They just threw a man, they gave a man 50 years in prison for the same thing with no, you know, he didn't kill nobody.
Who'd they give 50 years in prison for Lindsay Lohan's probation violation?
For probation violation, being habitual?
Who are you talking about? Anybody specific?
You can look anybody, just look in the prison system. There's a lot of different people that got hit for that.
Well, I agree with that. Let's go back to what you're saying before. What do you think that Oakland County Prosecutor Jessica Cooper, whether or not you think that it's okay that she was grandstanding, charging someone without enough evidence at first to do it. And then once they get the medical report, did she do the right thing in releasing it? Hey, listen, I know prosecutors that would have still kept the charges. You know what I mean? Yeah, my medical examiner might have said that it's not that death, but I disagree with them, and they do hire someone else. I'm not saying it doesn't happen,
but
she dismissed the charges.
The people we elect, a lot of them don't have sense. And I'm sorry, and then I'm talking about the legislatures, the Senate. These people write laws so they can intrude into our lives more than they can intrude into anything else. So my whole thing is, he was stupid for grandstanding. And if the woman did what she did, if she did something wrong, then you should do utilize the court system for what it should be used for.
Right.
But if she didn't do anything wrong, why are you sitting out there just trying to make a name for yourself? That's clogged up, or that's our tax money.
Well, that is true, but that's how they make their names. You think that's just here in Oakland County?
Because we allow the legislatures to make laws so that people can placate and make names.
Well, that's true, too.
Everything's about money. They don't care about people. We are a country of consumers. That's all we are. The prison industry, whatever industry you want to talk about, we are none but the consumer. There's no more American people. It's the American consumer.
Yeah, but
look
we
at
consume,
businesses and our politicians look at it.
We consume information, too. And the information we're consuming is what they put out in the media, what they put in the papers, what they say in the television, the radio.
Well,
we consume that information.
We allow the ignorant politicians allow them, when you cut out different legislative things that keep people from hoarding, meaning have a monopoly. All the news media is owned by who? Five people? Come on, man. And I'm talking about five corporations, and the people in these corporations are billionaires. It ain't the small people.
Yeah, but what about all the blogs now? All the information you get on the internet, that's not controlled by the big media.
Right.
I agree with
and
this station. Hey, this station's owned by...
A lot more people are turning to the internet. And sooner or later, you're going to really see television go away. In some way, if we do not... Some way the corporations are going to try... They're working on that right now to see how they can control the internet. Let's be real.
Well, do you think
everything
they should do that?
It's either going to be corporate or government. Government more for the people. If we start doing things as people and stop looking at each other as we all just criminals, anytime something happens, we got to think that somebody else is just criminal. Why?
Do you think that? Do you think the internet should be controlled and we should regulate the information that's coming out on that?
No, I need the internet alone.
Well, so it's okay to regulate it on the airways by big corporations. You're saying
you know
it isn't
what?
Okay.
In actuality, what we should do is just make sure that the internet is owned by the government because that means it's the it's the people. And see, I understand mathematics. I understand government. I am not selfish that 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 pennies coming out my check to go to help so everyone can have, like their police and fire and... If we did that with our public schools, that everybody can get an education, a good education, like all those people in the 50s, 60s, and 70s who now are the so-called leaders that all talk about public education is terrible, when we put somebody like Bill Bennett, who hates educating poor kids.
Well, let's go back to what you're saying, though. So you think the government should control the internet, and they should tax our information we get from the internet?
No.
No.
Don't let
them control our internet.
We already pay for it through our taxes. You didn't know that?
Well, we do. You know, the one we get on the internet.
But corporations, when these retarded politicians are talking about privatizing and doing all that type of stuff, you either going to have government or corporations doing something. And I'm not talking small businesses can't fight. Look at Walmart. How many small businesses can fight against Walmart?
Very few.
Okay, let's be
real. They don't have the funds. They don't have the resource to do it.
Because we allow Walmart to be a monopoly. We've allowed Walmart to be a monopoly, Fox News to be a monopoly, and I don't need the internet being a monopoly. If everybody can utilize the internet, guess what? It would never become a monopoly.
Yes, you are right.
Now,
however, but here's the story. Hold on. Hold on a second. But
that.
Here's the story. Regulating the internet... Mm-hmm. Regulates so much more than simply making it allowable for anybody to use it. Regulating it means they're going to regulate our free speech. They're not going to let us distribute information.
They're going to control exactly
what we say, just like they do with the FCC. They're going to say, hey, listen, you can't say that. You can say that. And I don't want that to happen on my internet. I want that to be free speech.
But my thing is, and that's why I said we had... If we put politicians in office with common sense, we'll know that something freedom of speech, which is in the Constitution, as long as you're not trying to do criminalistic things with it, then it should be okay. I don't care what you say. I don't care. It's what you do.
Well, that's true. Sticks and stones, you know what I mean? Sticks and stones. Thanks for the call. You can say what you want. You can put it in writing. You can say you're going to do something. But, man, until you take that action, I'm telling you right, you should have a right to be able to say it. You might disagree with me. You call me at 248-848-1310. We're going to take a break. But I tell you, when we come back, we're going to talk about exactly that. What are our privacy rights? Who should intrude on those rights? Should we have anybody intrude on our privacy? You call me 248-848-1310. This is Scott Weinberg on Crime Time Live.
Don't stop. From the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, I'm Ira Dreyfuss with HHS HealthBeat. Whatever happened to good old-fashioned play? As we grow up, being physically active often changes somehow from playing to exercising. Play is fun. Exercise, well, for many of us, that's not fun. And without play, we quit being active, so we get out of shape and start gaining weight. But new reports call on us to be physically active for the sake of our health, so what can we do? At the President's Council on Physical Fitness and Sports, Executive Director Melissa Johnson says it's simple. Get on your walking shoes and go for a walk, or do something else you enjoy.
A lot of sedentary or deconditioned people haven't yet experienced the good feeling of just movement. And once that becomes familiar to them, they don't want to stop.
Federal officials recommend 30 minutes of moderate activity on most, if not all, days of the week as a minimum for good health. HHS Health Beat is a production of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. I'm Ira Dreyfuss.
Have you or a loved one been arrested or charged with a crime? Do you want to stay out of jail and keep your record clean? Hi, I'm attorney Scott Weinberg, host of Crime Time Live, heard Saturday mornings 11 to 12 noon on 1310 WDTW. Call my office anytime to protect your rights at 1-800-NO-JAIL-1 or go to our website at 1-800-NO-JAIL-1.com. We have payment plans for everyone's budget. There should never be a price on protecting your rights. Call 1-800-NO-JAIL-1. Jail and the number one right now.
Welcome back to the show. We're protecting all your rights, all your privacy rights. All the rights worth willing to protect. That's what we do every week here on Crime Time Live. You know, you might not agree with what I say. You might object to it. You might think that our ability to protect ourselves from the government is always increased or decreased, depending on who's in office. But one of the things that you can't argue about is that we do have that right to privacy. We do have that ability to say, hey, we want our private lives to be kept private. That's exactly what we want, to make sure that we can continue to protect in this government, against this government, is keep ourselves private. Tim, you got a comment on that?
Hello?
Yeah, Tim, can you hear me? What do you think? Should our lives be private from our government?
Disagree with me. I think we should have freedom of speech, but, you know, it seemed like over the airways, it seemed like we really don't get it. But, you know,
why is that? Why don't we get freedom of speech over the airways? What do you mean? Who's stopping us?
Well, you know, I think what they allow us to hear is pretty much controlled, you know, far as almost like that, since they changed that fairness document.
But should we let that? Anybody say anything they want about anything on the airways, on TV, on the radio, on the internet, without any kind of controls? Should we allow that?
Well, I think we could have some kind. I know we need to have some kind of control.
Why?
One thing I wanted to ask you about, you know, pretty much considering this, what you think about that thing with Mike Cox and somebody working for the Attorney General and harassing somebody in their spare time, free time?
You know, if you're trying to talk about what Latifah was talking about before, I think it's going to be easily rectified. I think he's going to actually lose his job. We're talking about, of course, the Assistant Attorney General, who has been attacking the student at University of Michigan through a blog. In his own way, and supposedly on his own time. Here's the question. If you want to get into that, here's the question. Should someone, when they are not in their official capacity, be held to a different standard than when they are acting in their official capacity? Because that is the question here. Should someone have the right, the freedom of speech, to attack anybody in a blog, like it's been going on for years now, on the internet, in the papers, in editorials? Should we be able to say what we want, to criticize someone for whatever reason, whatever type of motivation we have, when we are a private citizen? Or are we allowed, or we're not allowed to do it because our role in our regular professional life, like in this situation, is an assistant attorney general? Does that create a different set of rules for us because of the job we have? What do you think, Tim?
I think it does, because you're representing the people, you're representing the government, and, you know, for you to do that, although it's your spare time, you know, I do think it has an effect.
Let me tell you something, Tim. When you are an assistant attorney general, when you are a cop, when you are a public official like that, when you carry a badge like that, because believe me, all of them can carry badges. I used to be a prosecutor, and I'm telling you, I used to carry a badge. There is no off time. That is part of the rules. I don't care what you think. You argue with me, you call me at 248-848-1310. You tell me that you think an assistant government official, whatever he is, prosecutor, assistant, you know, lieutenant governor, assistant attorney general, when you are off duty, there is no off duty. You
right.
still got to be you got to
like
be considerate.
If he sees something going down and he's there, he has an obligation to protect somebody.
That is exactly right. You got to make sure that what you do, what you say is exactly that. It is in conformity with the rest of your life. Caller, what do you got to say about that?
Well, it's a double-edged sword because these are the same people who will go after somebody who wants to use their right to free speech and prosecute somebody and charge them with crimes because they are telling the truth or their view of the truth anyway in their own opinion. And that can be turned into some type of criminal offense, especially here in Michigan. And as you know, as an attorney, defamation now or saying bad things about even public officials can get you charged with stalking. And I'll give you a case in point. It's the mayor of Troy who had a personal protection order filed against some loudmouth that showed up at the city council meetings and was really only voicing his concerns and was blogging about the city council and the mayor. She filed a personal protection order against them.
When you are a public official, when you put yourself out there, you take that risk. That is what you're doing. You're saying, hey, I'm putting my taxes on the line. You can look at them. I'm putting my reputation on the line, and you can try to talk to me. You can go to the appropriate ways to do it. See, that's the question. Are all ways to try to communicate with a government official appropriate? Period.
Well, absolutely.
Blogging, are they all appropriate? Are you now saying it doesn't? I have no privacy. I have no private life. You can come go to my house. You can go follow me to the restaurant. There are no times where I have privacy because now I've become a public official. Are you saying that?
Yes, I am, because that's already been said as a president. Who was that guy? I think it was even Gary Peters was being followed around with some guy with a camera. He was like, he was an adjunct professor at a campus somewhere.
Right, trying to catch him.
And some dude was following him around with a camera and just, you know, and that was proven out as First Amendment rights. But again, it's not enforced equally, though. That's what I'm saying, though. You know, that's the problem I have with it, is that these laws are not being enforced equally. Like I said, again, the mayor of Troy filed a personal protection order against some guy who's, you know, an activist in Troy who did not like her policies, and she took him to court, and this thing stuck. There were no threats. As a matter of fact, his term was he was going to drain the swamp, you know, and that's Nancy Pelosi's statement.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, are you familiar with that case? He said he was going to drain the swamp. She claimed that this was some type of covert physical threat and got away with it. So I don't know what to tell you, but this guy who's a prosecutor, assistant prosecutor, he cannot take a position like that because what happens if he's in with a case with a gay person? I mean, obviously this guy is going to be biased.
Well, that's true. I mean, does it make it worse that he's attacking? Listen, whether he is straight or homosexual doesn't make any difference. Whether the complainant or the person that actually is the receiver of the information, the kid at school, if he's gay or not, to me, see, that doesn't make the difference. The difference is more, it's more of a policy statement. Should you, when you are a public official, I don't care if you're elected or appointed like I was, when you are a public official, you are now, when you accept that position, you are now never off duty. You have privacy, but what you say can be brought back into your official job, and you can get fired for it. You disagree, you call me at 248-848-1310.
Hey, I got one more question.
Yeah.
You said you were appointed into a government position.
I was an assistant prosecutor, just like this assistant attorney general.
Well, then you were a public figure.
I'm not anymore. See, that's
but
the difference.
But you were in that capacity. You had been termed a public figure.
That's exactly right. When you are a public figure, believe me, I knew many, many, many people that were my compadres as assistant prosecutors all around this state and assistant attorney generals, that if you knew what they were doing when they were off duty, believe me, they all should have been fired. But
well,
they shouldn't have been doing it.
They shouldn't. I swear to God, you need to take my case. I'll let you go.
They didn't. I'm telling you right now, if people get caught with their pants down, figuratively speaking, then that is exactly what they run the risk of. They run the risk while they're a public official. You don't want to be held to that standard. You don't want to be held by a standard of being a public official. Thanks for calling. You shouldn't take the job or quit. Don't have that role. You want to do things that the regular public can do? You want to say things that the regular public can say while they're on duty or off duty? Leave your job. You know, judges can't say whatever they want. They're restricted by their own judicial covenant to not address specific kinds of things in rules and regulations and giving their opinions in the public. Well, so are public officials. And if you don't like it, get out of your job. That's my opinion. 248-848-1310. That's 248-848-1310. But when you are a private individual, when you are just a regular guy, you have a right to privacy. And that is what happened in this. I mean, it's so tragic what happened in this Rutgers suicide and the case that raises issues regarding our privacy rights. Amid public attention, this intense scrutiny that happened out in New Jersey. Of course, the family of Tyler Clementi remains quiet because it's such a personal tragedy that this kid's roommate allegedly put cameras all over the room and show him in a display of his own personal private preferences of homosexuality for the world to see. Is that right? Because you go to college, does it give someone permission to go view you in any way possible if that's what your roommate deems important? Don't you have rights and privacy in your own dorm room for your own private acts? You call me at 248-848-1310 and you tell me whether or not you think that that tragedy just goes beyond his own taking his life. It goes to the heart of what we feel are private in our own lives when we are private citizens. This is not the president of the United States. This is not the president of a university. He's in the privacy of his own dorm, and that roommate violated his privacy. You tell me what you think about that, Lori.
Oh, I totally agree on the Rutgers case. That poor young man had the complete right to privacy and should never have happened in such a tragic situation. But I was calling in on to make another point that sort of coincides with some of the things you were talking about, and that is, even as a private citizen, you don't necessarily have the right to say anything you want in your private time and not expect it to affect your job. For several companies that I've worked for, have a right to work employer, and they can fire you for whatever reason they want,
sure,
whether
it's
they
called
have cause or don't have cause. So I think it's kind of a judgment issue of, you know, what's the proper behavior and treating other people with respect. So,
well, those are at-will employees, right? I mean,
yes, at-will employees.
Right, an employer can fire you basically doesn't like the color of your hair.
Right.
Now, you can be protected. You can have, you know, constitutional protections. They can't fire you because of your race, because of your religion. They can't fire you for other constitutional protected reasons. But when you're an at-will employee, man, you wouldn't believe how little rights you have for that employer to fire you. Now, you can come back and sue. Listen, you can sue anybody for anything, for any reason, if you think that it's legitimate. Just because you get fired doesn't mean you can't sue them. The question is, should you be able to be fired for acts that you think are, one, private, or two, your comments are your own personal opinion? Why should you be able to be fired for something that you, let's say you blog on someone's blog, criticizing them, and your employer finds out he doesn't like it, so he fires you? Do you think that's right?
Well, as an at-will employee, you know, you're kind of stuck whether it's right or not. I do think that it kind of depends on what you say, and it's like that whole you can't incite a riot or, you know, scream fire in a movie theater. I think so, many of the things you say, you should not be able to threaten anyone else. And you should not be able to, you know, do anything that would necessarily break any laws.
Well, all that is true. And you didn't say anything that's wrong other than the fact, let's say that you are, like this case with the Attorney General's office, you are an off-duty, if you can be off-duty, you're not working in your role as an assistant attorney general, and you're commenting and you are basically trying to criticize this student at U of M. Do you think you should be held to a higher standard because you are in your regular job an official of this state?
No, I don't think he should assume that he can say anything he wants. Particularly when some of the things he says incites others to hate crime kind of things. It's that mentality of no tolerance and not willing to, you know, allow, basically respect other people's lives. And I don't think he had the right to do that.
Well, that is true, actually. And, of course, in this state, we have hate crime laws and we have racial inciting type laws that just don't let you go out. I mean, just for instance, you can't go out and start trying to start a riot against black people or against Jews or against gays and not be charged with inciting hate crimes. I mean, you're going to be charged.
Right.
And some people would say, yeah, but it's just words. There's no actions. We're not getting out with guns and trying to get gays out of their houses. We're not looking for the Jews. We're not trying to go down to Hart Plaza and aiming for blacks. We're just giving our opinion. It's just words. So what?
Yeah, but words have repercussions, and you have to be responsible for the outcome of the things you say. And, you know, it's easy to claim to not want to incite a riot, but a lot of times people do, and they know. It's just like Rush Limbaugh. He knows he's inciting people, but he does it anyway. You know, not necessarily from a hate crime perspective, but, you know, just that knowing it's getting people, you know, ruckus up, and then, you know, claiming, oh, I didn't mean for that to happen. Well, you have to take responsibility for the things you say and do.
Well, then isn't that one of the major things that we have a problem in our society? People just don't want to take responsibility for their, not just what they say, but exactly what you were saying, Lori, is what they do. People try, people do things, and they don't want to take responsibility for it. You call me at 248-848-1310. That's 248-848-1310. Thanks for calling, Lori. It doesn't matter if it's here in Metro Detroit, or if it's out of New Jersey, the types of the tragedy that that befell this student, where he was so distraught he took his own life. You know, they're going to charge that kid if they haven't already. They're going to make sure that this cyber voyeurism, that this, you know, this bullying doesn't continue at a university. But then you get the issues of the internet. The internet is not private. I don't get where these kids, and I don't care what kids, housewives, they put so much information on their Facebook page and on the internet. They somehow think that because they're in control when they put it on, that it's some type of controllable situation. Man, when you put it on there, you put it on the internet, it is out there for good. It is in cyberspace and everybody's phone, everybody's blog, everybody's home. It is everywhere. And your right to someone else's that privacy that someone else had is gone now. And you destroyed it. You destroyed it for all time. I don't care if it's an official that puts it out there or unofficial. You destroyed it for all time. Paul, what do you think? What do you want to talk about Cox and that firing? Do you think he should fire his employee?
I think the firing of his employee is interesting, and I think it pulls out a lot of issues. But I think what I like best about this Andrew Chevelle getting attention in the media and Mike Cox citing the First Amendment in his defense of not firing him is that it really truly is an instance for the First Amendment to work its magic. The First Amendment forces all speech open and in front of the public to hear, and everyone got to hear Andrew Chevelle. And what we saw was the rope-a-dope method of the First Amendment. He was out there. He was talking. His ideas, his presentation was judged by the public. And if you saw the backlash, it was negative because his ideas are bankrupt. What he has to say is silly and old-fashioned. And the future is coming, and he is yesterday. And people know that.
You're talking about the assistant attorney general's. His ideas are just not worthwhile even listening to.
Right, right. They're not worth listening to, and people are able to see that because he's using the First Amendment. He's out there and he's talking to it. And you know, for once in this country's existence, the media is calling a crazy idea on the carpet because it's just, you know, if it bleeds, it leads. You know, that will get all over the blog, so Anderson Cooper will cover it.
So you feel that it's okay for, even if you're an official, whether you're Mike Cox or Mike Cox's employee, to come out there and make statements, even if they're ludicrous, even if they are hurtful, because the media and therefore the consumer will see it for what it is?
No, I don't know that. I mean, I think if I was in Mike Cox's position, I certainly would have made a different decision than he did. But what I think is that the First Amendment is such a great idea, because what it did is that Mike Cox used it, or, you know, for cover or for whatever, because he wants to, you know, curry favor with the religious zealots who are in charge in Michigan politics, and that's why he was able to use the First Amendment. And the First Amendment said, fine, take your stupid ideas and put them before the public, and they will get rejected. And that's what happened. I don't think that what Andrew Scherville did is good and despicable, and I don't think that he should be able to do so and hold the position he does. I mean, but I do think that when he does do that, all the decisions that Mike Cox get judged in the same light that this decision is getting made. Yeah, of course, an attorney general who, when the University of Michigan was under attack from George W. Bush, he stood with George W. Bush as in the fight against affirmative action. So, of course, the same attorney general will stand behind another person who wants to attack now the president of the student body at the University of Michigan. Of course, the attorney general who, when millions of Michiganders don't have health care, he stands with the corporate interests who want to maintain the status quo. Of course, his ideas, his decisions, his decision not to fire Andrew Scherville is just as stupid as all his other decisions. And I think that's what's so wonderful about Mike Cox using the First Amendment. Right.
Well, that's what I like. I like to people get fired up. I don't care whether you agree with Cox or not. You got to get fired up. Thanks for calling, dude. But I tell you, one of the things that you can never trust is when someone in the same political party is going to agree with you or not. You just never know what's going to happen with that. You don't know whether or not Mike Cox is going to stand with someone simply because he's the same political party. I mean, you'd hope that they're going to stand and believe in what they believe in, but not just because it's the same political party. You call me. You want to comment on that? 248-848-1310. That's 248-848-1310. Lacey, you got a comment or question about that?
Hi, I just want to state that I've seen this coming for a while, and I think we all need to really watch. The Wild Wild West is synonymous with what we used to have, what we have now, which is the Wild Wild Net. Our children are the primary victims, and this poor Tyler was forced to endure tons of humiliation that he never should have dealt with. And all of us are culpable in this situation, and all of us are vulnerable to this situation. Anybody, anywhere, at the drop of a dime, if you're online, they can take and crucify you on the World Wide Web. Everybody needs to really take this moment to think about that right now. And the same way we rein things in, you know, during the Wild Wild West, we need to do it now, or there's going to be more of this kind of thing.
You know, Lacey, I agree with part of that. What I agree with is the fact that our words and our comments can have effect on other people. I do believe they can. The question is, should we rein in this wild, wild web so that now they're, like we had talked about before, there are government controls on what we can say and see, as opposed to relying on our good sense, on what our parents taught us, on what our parents can actually, when we're now not of majority, we've got a 12-year-old, and what he can see online. Listen, you are never going to control. I don't care what it is. You are never to control your teenager. When he wants to go find something, he wants to go find pornography. He wants to go look for something that is not what you want. He's going to go find it. And it is your responsibility as a parent to try and have those controls, not
I agree,
government, to do it.
But I'm saying is, let's have a level of transparency so that people don't have this anonymity where they can do things and nobody knows who it is. You know, so say what you want, but take responsibility for what you say, and we know who you are. And people change. They change what they say when they know that people know who they are and where it's coming from.
Well, now, isn't that the truth? Man, you can say, and I got teenagers too, everybody can be so cavalier when they're on, when they're texting or they're right. they're on the internet and they're blogging. But you know what? They would never, ever say those things in person. They would
right.
never want their name or face used if they realized who was seeing that. I'm telling you, half of what they say, they would never say.
Correct. That's what I'm talking about. Transparency.
So I agree. We should have to take, thanks for calling, we should have to take responsibility for what we say. You want to stand up? You want to be able to be heard? Well, then you better be the one standing behind it with your name, with your reputation, whether you're a public official, whether or not you are a individual. None of this anonymous stuff. You want to say what you want to say? You come on this show, you give me a reason to get you on the air. Well, you don't have to use your last name. But you come on the show and you say what you want to say. You call me at 248-848-1310. You call during the week at 248-855-1400. And we will try to protect all your rights. I agree. Lacey is right. We should not have to be anonymous in order to say what we feel. Yeah, but then you got the government coming after us. You say what you want and the government doesn't agree. Man, there you go. Audits. Looking into your bank accounts. Looking into your families. Oh, man, you got to be careful. With this government, you got to be careful what you say, don't you? Well, you call me anytime and we'll talk about that. You call and talk to me on Crime Time Live. We're trying to protect everybody's rights. Trying to protect everybody from the government. Trying to protect everybody from our own inability to protect ourselves from the government. That's right. You rely. You rely on me, Scott Weinberg, here on Crime Time Live. We will protect you every week. See you later. Identify.